The Miami Dolphins played a very good game. Tua also had a good game. Are we going to talk about that?
All because of...
What is up, Dolphin fans? How's everyone doing? Welcome to another collective. Welcome to the second collective where the Miami Dolphins had a victory. And this was the biggest victory of the season because when we beat the Jets, we barely beat them. This one, we sat back. We got to enjoy the victory. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the upcoming game Thursday. Again, short week, so you're going to get a little bit of a review / preview in this video. Real quick, let's shout out the sponsors, starting with SeatGeek. If you are going to the game Thursday night, what's the weather going to be like for this game Thursday night?
No one weather, South Florida, unless
you could know. Rain, couldn't rain. It's like one of those things.
Normally, when there's a hurricane in the area, everything is very peaceful and beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, here you go. So if you want to go to the game.
Thursday, high of 79, low of 67.
Just a beautiful,
beautiful
day.
Beautiful.
That's a beach day.
And that stadium at night, also beautiful. So again, you want to go to the game, use the promo code FINS, grab yourself some tickets on SeatGeek. You get $20 off your first purchase. Fantastic, fantastic app. Then we also have Sleeper, who we talk about all the time with the overs and the unders and all that great stuff. Great fantasy app. If you use the promo code HMA, you get $100 matched 100%. So up to $100. So if you're thinking, hey, I want to try it out, let me throw $20, use our code, they'll match your $20. And then you got Brunt, the working man's gear, the working man or woman's gear. Go out, grab yourself some boots, some jackets, some pants, some gloves. Use the promo code HMA and you get $10 off. Also, we have this on different podcast formats, whether it's Apple, Spotify. Go check it out there. If you're driving, you want to listen to it, be our guest. And then also, if you want to become a member, you hit the join button next to the subscribe button. And as you see, Joe Bro 334 using a ton of our faces, you get that as a perk. You get the name at the end. You could tell us, hey, I've been a member for this long. Here's my question. A lot of great perks. So Miami Dolphins came out. Not a lot of people thought they would have any type of competitive advantage, and they whipped the crap out of the Atlanta Falcons. Beat them down bad. Bijan Robinson was a non-factor. Tua out here throwing four touchdowns. We had a three-headed back at running back. Jordan Brooks out there playing fantastic. The team, all three facets of the game, just dominated. So, give a little bit of that. And what's your thoughts on the future? Is this team back? I want to start with TD on that one.
Super Bowl, baby.
Let's go with that.
No, listen, is this team back? 1 week at a time. We're not going to sit here and play that game. The odds are stacked against the Dolphins. The reality is they have to go 8-1 the rest of the season to really probably have a shot to get in. But we take it 1 week at a time. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, I always look at the schedule. You can't tell a win or a loss, especially with what's been going on lately. Mm-hmm. But you know, some games make you feel like, oh, you know, maybe a little mini run if they keep it up. But, you know, that's just the fan in you.
Are you looking at a mini run right now? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, Omar, I'm very conflicted as a fan and as a realist, because what they put on the field on Sunday is what we thought we were going to see when we opened the season.
Pretty much.
No.
Well,
defensively, it was a best case scenario of what you could see this season.
Okay, that's fine. No, not even the best case scenario.
Because you know, I'm looking at the opponent and everything. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. They had a lot of people out, but regardless, that was a good performance through and through on the whole team. So again, maybe I didn't expect for them to play like that every week. But I expected out of 8 games to get 5 of them like that already. You know, so let me at least preface it with that. So right now, no, I'm not in this optimistic state to say, oh, man, we might go on a run. But what I am is encouraged by Mike McDaniel, number one, who came out and had his team playing disciplined football, minimize penalties. They didn't bite themselves early in the game. He also had his team prepared to take care of the football, which is important. And last but not least, man, those guys look fired up and encouraged. If you would have been doubting anything about taking off, man, they were out there working, man. And shout out to, I don't know if it's Brooks or Dobbs. I got to go back and read. I'm saying Dobbs. What's his name? Yeah, I don't know which one it is. I got to go back and rewatch it, and y'all probably know whoever was like hoorah on the team in the locker room.
That was KJ Britt.
Oh, man. See, that's why I probably didn't know that.
Listen, and the funny thing is, I saw a video of Tampa Bay, and he used to give the post-game speeches in Tampa Bay. And I went up to him. I'm like, why you don't do that here? Like, they need it. And this is after they lost Tyreek.
Well, he delivered one, and I felt it. And it felt like it was a leader in the midst of all those guys when I saw it.
And you know what the reason he told me he wasn't doing it? He was like, I'm playing my role. I'm like, you know what your role is? Be a vocal leader around here, because that's not what this team has.
Except he's a newcomer backup. I mean, it's kind of like
– but you know what?
I've seen backups do it, but Mac Hollins used to do it.
Well, hold on. Newcomer backups, you go ahead and tell me somebody who did that.
I'm telling you, Mac Hollins, I don't know if it was his first year here.
No, it wasn't his first year here. He showed up, actually. They claimed him off waivers in December of, like, 2019 when they were getting player after player.
You act like he was established.
Who?
Mac Hollins.
He was established as a special teams dude. He was a team captain, like, in his second or third year.
Well, young player or new player, he did it. And I think that was a huge positive role in the locker room. So this whole run idea, you know, let's take it one week at a time. And Doug, are we giving our full game breakdown or?
Yeah, quickly.
Jude, let's move it around a little bit.
We'll come back to the breakdown then if you want.
Yes, we'll go down to the breakdown. Dude, this is the
order. Were you encouraged then, Alan? Okay, go ahead.
I'll do it very quickly, and then I'll move on to Omar. How's that? Great that they stuck with a run game. Here's the thing, though. To be able to stick with a run game, the game circumstances have to be right in that they didn't fall behind, and a lot of that was on the defense, which produced three and outs out of the Atlanta's first four possessions. Don't underestimate how big that was. And then number two, one of the keys you mentioned, the no penalties, there were no or very few major setbacks, negative plays on offense, which puts you in non-run situation, which is why it allowed them to do that, because they weren't necessarily explosive in the running game, but they were very, very efficient. And again, it's a great formula. If they could do it like this every week, obviously they would. The game circumstances worked. They stayed ahead. That made a big difference. And they played, let's be honest, Atlanta was an up-and-down team that was missing Michael Penix, and Kirk Cousins was absolute, Omar, just for you, booty cheeks. Drake London not being in the game was absolutely huge. And all the Atlanta people were like talking about, and I don't mean to pick on one player, the guy who replaced Divine Diablo at inside linebacker, all the Atlanta people were like, why the hell is this guy in the game? I think his name is Bertrand, I believe, number 40. And you should check out the radio talk shows in Atlanta and the podcast in Atlanta. They're going nuclear over there. But hell of a job by the Dolphins.
I can honestly tell you, I wasn't surprised. I'm opening up our app, just so you know. Not our app, but our site. So
that was cool music. That was, I like that. That was cool.
It was an underdog ad. But anyway, that was the team that I generally expected to show up all season. Obviously, we know what our line issues are. We do know that this team is at their best when they're running the ball effectively. Mm-hmm. That opens up play action. This offensive line is a run. They run block better than they could pass block. I said about midseason, we should see the growth from the rookies. Jonah play better. Kenneth Grant play better. Jordan Phillips play better. Dante Trader play better. Ollie Gordon play better. From Tua, the efficiency, that is what I expect. I didn't expect four touchdowns, but that's the quarterback I expect, not the quarterback throwing three interceptions. Like that guy.
It was all because of Tua.
Yeah, he wanted to prove you right.
Omar, I'm going to give it to you. You were doing this all to his fault, when nobody was saying that. I'm going to give it to you. It was all because of Tua.
And that's the thing. I don't think that Tua was like so miraculously good. Yeah. He didn't do any. He had, in my mind, what I call one big boy throw. And it was the touchdown Malik pass Washington. To Washington.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Yeah.
Which one was the other one?
He had one of those loft throws.
Oh, yeah, to Jalen Waddle. He threw it over two defenders.
That was a hell of a throw.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe. But.
How dare you, Omar?
Get a man his credit, man.
I mean, no, but my point is, I see that player all the time. The three interceptions guy, I don't really see. I like the game planning. I like the scheming because – I've always felt like they're at their best when they're a fullback, they're a two tight end, and they're a twin back. I think they are at their best. And that was even with Tyreek Hill on the field. Now, I don't think they have a choice. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have three legitimate good receivers on this team. Like, at this point, Cedric Wilson might need to be playing over Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. Like, if Nick Westbrook-Ikhine isn't out there mauling.
Had a nice catch. Like about
And he also had a nice drop of a ball that literally hit him in his face. How accurate does Tua have to be?
Then 5 yard out?
Huh? No, it was a little deeper than five.
It was on the left side of the field, right? It was out route.
It was crossing the middle. Hit him right.
Maybe he could have turned up to the end zone if he would have caught it.
We are where we are with the receiving core. It is what it is. But at this point, no tight ends, no wide receivers. You got to go to the two backs. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, like, you hear – I've always heard this, oh, Mike is so innovative. Mike is so creative. And to be honest with you, I always wasn't buying. I'm not a McGenius kind of guy. Like, I never saw anything super creative. Oh, yeah, I've never
– You weren't saying that in 2023 when they were lighting up the scoreboard, really?
I thought the motions were good. I thought the Jets, I agree with you,
Omar.
Huh?
I agree with you. Really, to me, it's not like this, like everybody made it seem. Like, oh, this is, you're going to see some genius.
Well, he's creating new plays that nobody's ever seen.
But you saw some good stuff this week.
Oh, you saw, yeah. And I'm not saying that he can't call good plays. I think he's a good sequence caller. Mm-hmm. And when I say sequence caller, I mean he sets things up. Mm-hmm. Like, We'll probably see in Baltimore. They had two big catches, one to Achane and then a touchdown to Ollie Gordon. Those are the same play flipped upside down. Mm-hmm. Now, watch. Baltimore's going to see that play, prepare for that play, and watch the Dolphins have a counter to that play where it's like, oh, you think it's going to the back? Oh, over the top. And something like that. I like the sequences, Mike. And I'm at the point now where I can actually predict when he's going to take his shots. But that's what I thought about the game.
He did that, and I brought this up in a previous episode. He did that to win the game against Detroit. Took Tyreek Hill, went in motion. The linebacker followed. It was zone. Did it again. I think he did it three times in a row. I think the first two times the linebacker didn't follow, so it was zone, so he didn't throw it. And then the third time linebacker followed, it was like a bootleg to a throw. He got the first down, end of the game. He, like you said, he sets it up. Okay, I'm going to do this, and they're going to bite this. They're going to bite this, and I'm going to throw that. But here's my question, right? Is all the stuff that Mike McDaniel has now implemented with Frank Smith being on the sideline, Brunskill as the sixth offensive lineman, finally using all your running backs, finally doing this, that, more of an attitude that we heard from the players this past week on how he's being a little bit more of a D-I-C-K and all that stuff. Is it too little too late? Because to me, it's too little too late, man. You decided to do all these little changes at 1-6 instead of at 0-3.
Guys, are we automatically thinking, oh, they found the formula, all these changes, they're going to be like this, they're going to be efficient like this every week?
No, but the changes were reported this week of all these things happening, and yeah, it worked, but that's why I'm saying.
They might do other changes against Baltimore that may or may not work. I mean, it's like, again, it for that particular game, yeah, everything worked out well, and because also they were better. Omar, give the offense, because you crap on the offensive line, and I mean all the time, be nice, Give them their props.
They were respectable. All I ask is for respectable guys. Hey.
They were good. They were good.
I like that they were problem solving. You don't have any tight ends. You put a six offensive lineman. I've only been begging for that all of last year, and straight to the coaches, and they're just like, "Nah, we're good." Like, imagine Patrick Paul as your six offensive lineman last year. Like, come on. But that's besides the point. Frank Smith, you could tell when they lost Tyreek, then they lost Waller. They lost all their emotional leaders, all of them gone. And they needed an emotional uplifting. The haka thing with Jonas Savanaya, they had him like do it three times during the week to bring up energy. The and then Frank Smith, you know, Mike noticing or them coming up with the concept of him being on the field, not only just bringing energy, but just handling the hands on with the orchestration and the substitutions. I found it interesting. He said that that was his role with Sean Payton in New Orleans. So now he's just returning to a role that he's familiar with. And he sounded like he'd been rescued from what he called the fishbowl. Like, he's like, I can finally get back on the field. Like,
Do you think Mike McDaniel doesn't want him chirping in his ear? Like, he wants him kind of, let me do my thing, you go upstairs?
No, Mike does his thing. He doesn't – no, Mike doesn't care. Mike, okay. I don't think Mike cares.
See, I want to give shout-outs to some of the unsung heroes. Like Alec Ingold, I think he had a very good day, especially run blocking. He was putting people on their butts to the point that they had to check him into the tent to see if he had a concussion or not because of how hard he was hitting people. Tanner Connor, another guy who was putting people, you know, he was moving people. And
he was.
I'll show you the clips. I'll show you the clips.
Okay. Let's show it to me.
Yeah, because Omar don't watch film. Help him.
He was moving people. He was actually doing well.
He watches film.
So, you know, those guys, and then, you know, Jordan Brooks. Again, but here's the thing that
Jordan Brooks was not.
Jordan Brooks is no unsung hero.
No, I'm not saying he's not a hero.
He was a baller.
Here's the thing that also still bothers some is it's another week of Jalen Phillips' high pressure percentage not getting a sack. We had one sack on the day.
It still helps.
And I was at Dolphin camp today, and I actually talked to Jalen Phillips, and I actually brought up, if you recall, the first series of the game. And again, do not understate how big that was for the Dolphin defense. They stuffed Bijan Robinson twice on two runs. And then on third down, if you recall that play, no, Jalen Phillips didn't get a sack. But if you recall that play, it was a five-yard completion to Kyle Pitts on third and 10. Why? Because he had to get rid of the ball because Jalen Phillips was in his face. So no, it's not a sack, but it highly contributed to the third down stop.
He's an impactful play.
Oh, 100%.
He's just not 100%. Getting sacks.
Yeah.
So stop fixating on sacks. Bad dog.
Do they matter or not?
You know what? His comment, he says, yeah, sacks matter when you're talking about, and I'll forget one thing he mentioned, the egg bingo contract, and then something else. Oh, and the honors recognition. But even ask it any DC, ask Anthony Weaver, as long as you're affecting the quarterback, sacks is just a bonus. But if you get the pressure and it creates a negative play or a third down stop in that case, it's
he created it in this game. It didn't show up in the stat sheet. Right. But to me, it was only one unsung hero in this game, and that was Tua Tagovailoa.
He got all the praise. How is he?
Exactly.
He was control me. Go ahead.
Oh, he got you good too.
No, Tua was an unsung hero, man. First of all, you don't turn the football over. No, because one turnover here could flip the whole game. I mean, we know how this works. Just like Alan said early in the game, the defense made stops, but finally, when they made stops, the offense capitalized during those stops, and that's important to go ahead and extend that lead.
Like the best red zone quarterback in the league.
Well. Okay, when we get down there. Okay, so but he executed I thought that he had some big time throws. Like you said, the off script play, Malik Washington flushed out of the pocket. And I said this yesterday. I tweeted it. I said those are the plays right there that if you could get more consistently from Tua, see everything he did yesterday, we know he's done it, but
doing it on a consistent basis and a little bit more, and he didn't need to win this game, by the way. But you know those big-time games? Like what he did yesterday on maybe like two big-time plays, add a third or a fourth in those big games, and that's all. You only need those two more plays sometimes from him. But you don't typically get it. You get the interception or whatever it may be. But he was careful with the football. He was patient, and he stood in there on like two passes and took the hit. He knew he was going to get whacked, but he got them feet straight and said, okay, I'll give y'all one. And I was happy for it. But he did that, and that's what I'm talking about. If you can do stuff like that on a regular basis, especially when the competition irks up, that's what would make you like, nobody would have too many problems. You'll be given a leash where it's like, okay, I mean, it happens. But that's few in between. He was in rare form yesterday, in my opinion. And I like the rare form. And that's what you need him to stay in. So, Omar, you got to punch him in the eye again. Do whatever you need to do, man.
See, and that was my biggest knock on Tua after with the whole, you know, is he going to get a contract? How big is his contract? Yada, yada, is his inconsistency. Because, you know, there's people who say he can, he doesn't, he won't do things. And we've seen it. It's just that we haven't seen it consistently. And like you hit the nail on the head, PD. He has these games. And he'll have a game like last year in Buffalo, or he'll have a game, you know, where we're like, there it is. And then we get three or four games of him just.
I didn't see happy feet. I didn't see the pain.
Exactly. Exactly.
And he was being moved a little bit here and there. So, you know, I don't know. I just don't expect to get used to what we just saw.
Maybe that's because all. You saw better protection from six offensive linemen on the field.
Jesus. No, that wasn't it, Omar. He actually eluded pressure. He
felt comfortable in the pocket.
Eluded pressure. Okay. Well, you know what? Like I always say, if you felt fine in the pocket and you executed, good. But life ain't gonna always be like that in the NFL.
You're right.
And we can't afford for that to be an excuse in our losses.
Why are we having another debate about Tua when the Dolphins just won by 24 points?
I'm trying to give him his love, Omar.
No, but you're taking shots at the same time. He played a very good game. Can we just
What shot did I take, Alan?
What?
I just said I just wish I could get that more often. That's all.
It's okay, you wish you could get four touchdown performance.
Really, Omar? I just wish I can get zero turnovers. Okay,
you generally get 100 rated performances. So shut your mouth.
Zero turnovers.
That's what you zero get turnover. 100 rated performances. Zero that is turnover. Above average consistent play. Quarterbacks will turn
over. I'm talking about a rating when literally 75% of his yards was yak. Stop talking about a rating.
Man. See, and that's now we got 100. Before it was, he's a 100 rated quarterback because he got Tyreek. He's a 100 rated quarterback because he got a great running game.
Whoever said that? Hey, listen, let's just stick with Tua did great. I'm just saying, man, we just want it more often so that we can feel good about the quarterback we have. That's all.
Okay.
You should feel good about the quarterback you have after the performance he had against Atlanta. Can we
move on.
Who, Quinn Ewers? Or is that what are you talking about?
My word. Oh, holy moly.
No, Alan, but because I can't let you slide with that. I should feel good because of his Atlanta performance. You act like we ain't seen this before.
He played again. We've had how many tour discussions have we had enough already? He played a good game Sunday. End of story.
I'm supposed to be happy about the quarterback that I have now because of the 1 week?
Can we not have this debate for one particular episode?
I'm just asking. He's
going to give you 300 rated games and then a three interception game. Well, that's your quarterback. It is what it is. Like, learn to live with it.
No, we're not living with that. Okay, that's the point.
Lenore Sellers.
Hey, it might work. That's all I'm saying, man. We can't be settling.
Let's talk about Thursday's game.
Thank you. Okay, let's see if we can do. If you have another good game,
I'm just tired of it.
Let's talk about the rookies, though, because listen, Jonah. You know how the coaches have always said, "We're sticking with him because each week he's making less mistakes." Each week before it was like 8, then it was 6, then we down to 5. We got two bad plays against the Falcons. Like, he might be turning the corner. Let's see. This is going to be a different team of physicality of the Baltimore Ravens. Same thing with Kenneth Grant. We've seen steady progress from Kenneth Grant. I don't really know if we've seen steady progress from Jordan Phillips. But we've seen steady progress from Grant. Dante Trader, I thought he played probably his best game. Ollie, come on, clearly he played his best game, but I don't think that really surprising.
No.
But, you know, this eight-game investment in these rookies, they're finally paying dividends.
And here comes the key question, though. Is this – are we back to the past couple of years where the Dolphins do very well against bad teams, mm-hmm. and then they –
don't show up against the good teams. Yeah, you're right.
You say something cruder, but
hold on. But here's the thing: at some point this season, and this is where I don't like when y'all start doing this. Oh, bad team, good team, good bad team, good team. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Falcons. There was people talking about them being a contender like 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and now they're a bad team.
This is a team that got. They were 3-3. They got spanked 30-0 by Carolina.
I understand that, but when they had a winning record, people were like, "Oh, what the fuck?"
Yeah, they were good, especially the defense. But remember, they had some weird circumstances this week. Quarterback.
I can argue to you right now, and I just wrote a column about this. The Colts, best team in the NFL, one of the best teams in the NFL, best record. Okay. But New England, one of the best teams in the NFL, 5-2 record.
Yep.
Buffalo, you know who the hell they are.
Yeah. 0-3.
Cincinnati. I believe Cincinnati has a win. I mean, not Cincinnati. Panthers.
Chargers have a winning record. 0-4. Panthers are 4-4. So right now they're 0-4 against teams that have a winning record. We're back to where we've been.
And teams with losing records, we're 2-2. So we've gotten worse from the past.
There you go.
It just happened. It just happened in a different order this year.
500 be a losing record though.
Well, yeah, it's neutral. It's just average.
No, you're 2-0 against 2-0 against losing teams.
But 500 is not a losing record.
2-2. Yeah.
Who are the losing team? Lost. Okay, that's Cleveland
Browns. And it's one more.
Cleveland, no, we didn't lose another one.
Maybe it's a 500 team now.
I don't know. Yeah, Falcons not. Yeah, I guess Falcons, I guess, is
they're
now.
They were 3-3.
No, 3-4.
Well, they were. See, this is where that whole thing is stupid.
Because then here's the thing. Then you can't count the Colts because the Colts were 0-0 when they faced them.
Exactly. That's stupid.
you let the season keep playing out to see teams do. Right. And you'll right now,
those teams.
So
right now it still serves. We haven't beaten a good team.
Yeah, it's fine. I will take that charge because
I don't want to get yelled at anymore. I'm just going to sit here. And
but here's the thing: is they play Baltimore and Buffalo in the next 10 days. We will know.
And Washington.
Washington is right. Let's get past Baltimore and Buffalo.
We always looked at this stretch as the doozy to everybody. Yes.
And by the way, and facing Jordan Poyer and Jordan Phillips.
Yes, hey, both these teams winnable though. I'm just saying. I just think.
I told y'all when I was hiding from Jordan Phillips.
I know the story. I don't know if these guys do.
last week. You talking about last week? You talked about it, didn't you?
The when we were in Baltimore, I was hiding from Jordan Phillips because he still got a little, you know.
So looking at Thursday's game,
enemies.
No Ashton Davis, no Julian Hill. Bradley Chubb pops up with a shoulder foot, but from what we're hearing, he'll be fine. He didn't do much on Sunday. I don't know.
He had one play I recall that was a very, very nice play, like from the backside. But
I thought he did well as an edge setter. I thought he did well as an edge setter.
They all did fine in that vein because there was nothing busted outside.
Let me see how many snaps he got on Sunday.
31, I believe. That sounds about right.
Yeah, was he limited?
No, just rotate now.
But you got D. Estridge was limited, and then Ifeatu Melifonwu was limited. Outside of that, everyone full practice. And then for the Ravens, they are now healthy at the perfect time. Woo-hoo! The only one that's limited was Ronnie Staley, and we all saw this coming. Like when Lamar didn't play on Sunday, I was saying he's just getting ready to face the Dolphins on Thursday. Like that's all it really was. And this is where they really need to turn it up because the whole AFC North lost on Sunday. They won. They can come into Miami, win the game, kind of get back on track. Let's preview this game since we won't be live until afterwards. I think the Dolphins, you know, had a fantastic game against the Atlanta Falcons. I'm not going to sit here and tell you guys that all of a sudden everything's changed. I think you're facing Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson, who you're really going to have to take care of. I think that we'll do better on offense because the Ravens' defense is not good, but I just don't, I don't see him pulling this one off. I think they lose like 27-24.
I would have to agree with you. I just, if Lamar Jackson, the only way you can pull this game off in my mind is if Lamar Jackson isn't fully healed from that hamstring and he's not a runner. He's just a pocket quarterback and he's throwing the ball away, playing hot potato with it. If he starts taking off running, you in trouble.
Don't dismiss pocket passing. That dude's become a really, really, really.
He has become a real good pocket passer. He has.
I mean, damn. No, I think the Dolphins, if you remember, Lamar Jackson has lit up the Dolphins' defense the last two times they played.
Yeah.
But in 2021, a Thursday night game, if you recall, Brian Flores went nuts on him with the blitzes all over the place. Blitz. And they bamboozled – can't think of a better word right now. They bamboozled him all night, frustrated the crap out of him. I don't think that's necessarily an Anthony Weaver MO, but maybe that's the ticket to getting it done. I don't know. But it's hard to pick against Dolphins. And again, get this. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe the spread is like 7 or something. Okay. Find me a team. This is one. Anybody, find me a team that's coming off a 24-point win on the road.
7-point underdog.
7-point underdog against a team that's at home against a team that's got 2 wins.
So that's technically they're saying the Dolphins they're 10 points better than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
I think the
Dolphins. With that spread, I take the Dolphins. I think they make it close.
Well, I'm taking the Dolphins money line. They're going to win this game.
Yeah.
I think Baltimore has not been good this year, particularly on the defensive side of the football. Not to make this about Tua, putting it on Tua, but if he can not turn the ball over and play as efficient as he did. See, I don't know if we're going to be able to run the ball the same, though, like we did against Atlanta. But there are opportunities to be had against this Baltimore secondary. They, to me, have been a little suspect or hit or miss, I should say, this whole season. Baltimore's offense has been opportunistic. They haven't really gotten in that gear. And I'm going to be honest, I haven't seen that gear since the first 3 quarters of week 1 versus Buffalo. And then it all just went downhill and I really haven't seen the gear since. So I think that it's a winnable game. It's automatically going to be a tough one because this is a great team. Great and with a great coach and desperation, by the way. I can't say that the Dolphins are going to lose this game. I feel confident coming off of what they just did. We're at home. Like
on a short week.
Do you think the fan base is a little bit more energized, maybe, to show up and really? No. See that's what bothers me.
I think there's a good chance. I was surprised the last time Baltimore played here at home. It was like 40% Ravens fans. I'd be surprised if the Ravens fans didn't make this a road trip. That's Thursday. There's no weekend to it.
What I'll tell you. We gonna win in a thriller or we getting blown out.
Yep.
Like it's because if we're close, I feel I don't know why. It's just I feel confident based off of what I've seen from Baltimore this year. And their coach makes a lot of bad decisions late in games. He makes a lot of bad decisions.
They are bad late in games. They are
bad. And so, McDaniel coming off of what he just did, I saw multiple schematic changes that made it better for the team. So he needs to stay in that bag. And this is a big, this is a big win game for McDaniel. Like, go out there and get your team to win this game. It could, I'm not saying it's going to shift the narrative on the season, but it could start to shift the narrative for Mike McDaniel. I think that this is huge, but whether they do it or not, I don't know, but I am going to pick the Dolphins to win 24-23.
Yeah. Nail biter.
Yeah. Like I said, you're facing, the Ravens defense is 30th in sacks, 28th in third downs. 23rd in rushing, 28th in passing, 28th total, 30th in scoring. It's a bad defense. Fun fact, our third down offense went back up. If you remember, before the Browns game, we were ranked third. After the Browns game, we were 13th. We're back up to 9.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it's not where it was. But hey, it's better than nothing. Let's do some over-unders real quick, sponsored by Sleeper. Some interesting ones, right? Because you have Mark Andrews, the tight end, 27.5 receiving yards. Or
you got to take that over, man.
Or Isaiah Likely, 20.5 receiving
yards. Oh, I forgot about Likely.
He's very likely to go over that.
Yeah, he's very active with Lamar.
Think about, they're going to have, if they put two tight ends on the field, then we're going to have to play Willie Gay.
You're never playing Willie Gay. Willie Gay
played. Hey, Willie Gay played against the dime package. Okay, listen. I'm going to just shut up.
Shout out to Sandlot on that. Never. Devon Achane, 63.5 rushing yards.
Perfect line. I'm going under.
That's a scary one this week for me.
You think they do that three-headed back again?
I think Baltimore sells out on a run.
Oh, so they make Tua beat them.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, of course.
What receivers?
Jalen Waddle, 61.5 receiving yards.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, you should take that. Even in the loss, he's going to get one good one.
Tua, 219.5.
Man, Tua lose mine every week. It was 221 last week, and he was 205, and I took him.
And there's a little promo. You get two. So instead of 1.78 times for taking the more, you get 2 times.
For Tua's?
More. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably still take the over.
Be aware that Jalen Waddle did not play the last time the Dolphins faced the Ravens in December 2023. The time before that was the Week 2 game in 2022, and both he and Tyreek Hill absolutely torched the Ravens secondary.
Mm-hmm. Ollie Gordon, 16.5 rushing yards. I got an interesting one. I'm going
over. I think we're seeing the evolution of Ollie.
Yeah. I got an interesting one. Because there's going to be a lot of third and shorts in this game.
Here we go. You ready for this one? This gentleman had one catch for 18 yards last week.
Westbrook Akine?
16.5 receiving yards.
For Westbrook Akine?
Mm-hmm.
I would take it. No, I would take it.
Hey, yeah, one catch for
he's always going to go under with him.
He's going to get two this week.
He was targeted 3 times. He had the one catch for 18 yards.
It'd be like 5 yards.
Remember, they getting used to each other even more, life without Tyreek.
Who?
I'm just saying, like, they.
You mean Westbrook Akine?
No, not necessarily. I just think this game is going to be different in Atlanta. When they sell out on the run and we start throwing the ball a little more, Tua ain't going to throw it 20 times. He's going to throw it probably 33 in this one.
That was, and again, to go back to that game, that's where you can tell this, that's like the bread and butter for Tua. And that's why I've consistently said, I don't think they built around him properly. He threw the ball 27 times. They rushed 37 times. Like that's where Tua, like TD said, you know, thrives. They didn't, you know, they ran the ball, the offensive line helped. That's where he works. That's where it works for him. Not, okay, you're going to throw it 40 something times and we're going to rush like 15.
There were no obvious situations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he got to orchestrate back there. Oh, you think it's run? Gotcha. No, oh, you think it's pass? Gotcha. And yeah, I know.
That's what he needs. It doesn't have to be perfect. It's got to be good. All right. Let's get to these donations. 800 watching. How many likes do we have? Let me refresh.
It'll be 800.
271.
Hit that like button.
Up. Come on. What's the matter, you? Garp Gump with the tenor said, I noticed something I can't unsee. Poop and Perk have the same nose. How can you not laugh at that? People don't want me laughing. They think it's fake. That's funny. And now you can't unsee it either.
Now I gotta look for it.
Now next time I see Perk, I'm gonna be like staring at him like
I gotta look for it now.
Let's hope the rooks are fixed. Appreciate you. RJ with the tennis said props to Tua for playing through a swollen eye while he played much better. He also had a couple of almost interceptions during the games. This does not change my view of Tua for the long term.
He always throws almost interceptions.
Every quarterback, I only remember one, the one that was at the line of scrimmage where the two linebackers were fighting for it.
He always you remember when Ryan Tannehill used to have a tip ball problem? Mm-hmm. Tua is an almost interception problem guy. It's always almost an interception. It's always like, oh, right over my fingertips. He's a very accurate passer.
Nicholas Soto with the 20 says, if the Dolphins show up again Thursday and get the W, does that make them buyers instead of sellers at the trade deadline?
No.
But does it make them sellers still?
Yeah.
The main guys, but it's not a fire.
It's got to be the right price for a lot of these players. I think the edge rushers are the most likely guys. Chubb and
49ers made a trade for an edge rusher. So.
Yeah, but think about it. The teams that are making trades are getting it done. Yeah. Everybody knows Chubb and Phillips are available. And like, would you go get Chubbs and Phillips when you could go send a sixth rounder for Calais Campbell if you're like a real legitimate team trying to win the title?
But that might be what you're paying for that, because you look at the two trades that were made. Is Keon White's not a bad player, and it's like what Keon White and a seven for a six, and then Kyle Duggar was a nice player, but for some reason lost his way and became an afterthought in New England. It's
that's just unloading salary. Yeah.
Correct.
You think you got 8-1 in us?
Sorry? Huh?
Y'all think it's possible 8-1?
No, you're not winning in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
In December.
It's so telling that everybody is just ruling them out. If you go back to what they did in 2024, Poop can tell you how many games they won. I forget. And then 2000 and the Flores' final year.
Yeah, like, they were 2-6 and they wound up 8-9. And they got eight. You know, I wrote about that too. And
this team can rally back. They just gotta find their mojo. And you know, I know most people, and the funny thing is most people think it's over, and I just wrote a column about this. Fans are like, oh, we should lose games. They don't even know who you're tanking for. They don't even have a clue that there's no really upper
echelon. There's no clear number player. One. Yeah,
top player in this draft.
Mm-hmm. Everybody know.
But it's not about where you select. It's who you select. Mm-hmm. It's how you select. Mm-hmm. And we already know draft picks in this guy's hands ain't going to do nothing. Like, so, you know, like, why are we like sitting here like, ooh, we got to get draft pick? No, get a good executive that can actually draft. When's the last time the Ravens had a top 10 pick?
Eagles too. Eagles know how to grab who they want. If the Dolphins and if after Sunday's win, the Dolphins were 4-4, then we could start saying buyers, sellers. But the fact that they're still 2-6, it's like don't matter.
Yeah. For the right price,
with a fiver says whoever gets moved by this win does not know ball. Use context. We versus backups. I'm not fighting it.
Omar, we're talking about extensions all over.
I'm not fighting it. Joel B with the fiver says this was complimentary football. This was pure whoop ass football. And we whoop ass is spoken all over.
We know whoop ass is spoken all over the tribute to Anthony Campbell. That's well done, Noel. Well done.
RJ with the tour says Dudley t-shirt game. It says today I feel, and then it's Batman in the same pose. It has just different feelings like fun, angry, happy. I'm a giant child. Flaming with a tenor says everyone is saying Reek is the best athlete in my generation. I disagree. It's JT all day. Reek,
which JT?
Fast.
Ooh,
Jonathan Taylor.
Huh?
There's a lot of JTs. You got to be a little bit more specific.
Jonathan Taylor. Sorry, no, Reek is not just fast. Reek is fast and he's quick.
I've covered a lot of elite athletes in my lifetime. And that includes Andre Johnson. And Tyreek is it. like Duke. When he, you know, the old Tyreek. I don't know what the new Tyreek's gonna be like. You know, he might even just decide he's gonna retire. And I think there's some truth to that because he probably has one hell of an injury insurance if he doesn't play another game. If you're making $30 million a year and you have injury insurance that about an injury that you just suffered, a career-threatening injury, his injury insurance probably might be like $50 million.
And if you heard him on Teron Armstead's show, he did not sound like a guy who's like, no, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I'm going to work hard. He was like,
yeah.
I'm enjoying my kids. And as soon as he said that, I was like, he's retiring. But he also, the player says they're enjoying their kids, I'm like,
nah, he also knows, though.
The competitive nature, I think the competitive nature is going to make him try to get back.
Yeah.
And I think, if he has that injury, if he has that an injury settlement, I don't know what it is. And I'm only speculating, but if some players, if they never play another down after a career injury, they're cashing in.
Mm-hmm.
But he also talked about his life has been, it's all football, it's all training all the time and all that, and that's going to be that rehab he would have to do to come back is going to be like intense.
You plus, know he's going to do it though.
Plus side,
I don't you know he's going to do it.
Oh yeah. But, plus sideline Tyreek, sideline Tyreek tweeting out was amazing. So his tweets were funny as hell.
I'm actually disappointed he's not tweeting more because he is a tweeter.
Oh, he was tweeting during the game.
Yeah, but like he sent like four or five tweets out. Like, yeah, like
how and he's like, shout out to the whole AFC East. They all won.
Dad Dean with the $20 donation said, open invitation to all you fellas to help build Miss Finn's new fantasy football show. Mm-hmm. Fantasy Moneyball every Tuesday, 6 to 7. Any one of you fellows would have helped out our great with our show as a special guest.
Yeah, man, just hit me up. DM me. I'll be a guest.
It'd be hard because we start this show like 30 minutes after that, but we'll try. And I appreciate you becoming a member, Dad Dean. Noel B with the tenor says, Kevin Harlan loves him some Savanaya.
Yes, he does.
Did I say that name right? Said he made a great play when he was on skates getting bull rushed into Tua. Did Jonah promise him a box of bobblehead dolls or what? I think, you know, honestly, let's be honest with ourselves. The reason the Dolphins dominated the Falcons is because the first time this season, Kevin Harlan called the game. Like, let's just be honest. Yeah. That is why. It had nothing to do with anything else.
That was my initial reaction when he said that, when he made the comment, that's three great blocks by somebody and I. And I'm like, it is? I mean, he played better, but I think he was like, it was a little over
the
top.
You know what's funny? Because I don't watch the TV copy, I have no idea what's this obsession with Kevin Harlan is.
Oh, he's very passionate. Like, go watch the Ravens game. The
Dolphins win when he calls games.
When we came back against the Ravens, watch the TV copy of that. There he got Tyreek again for it. Like, he just loves it. Edward with the Fiverr says, do you think because Frank Smith being on the sideline was the reason why the Dolphins played better in the run game?
It's the reason why the offense played better in general. Yes.
It's a reason there were no operation errors. I don't think they blocked better or the scheme was better because Frank Smith was
down. Y'all got to pay attention when Tua's dropping hints with them truth bombs. Tua said, I was having issues with the operation.
That's what I just said. The operation was cleaner.
The offensive corner Frank Smith. Like, to me, who else did it? The players didn't fix it because half of them don't know what they're doing half the time.
That's not what the running game is better. Okay.
I don't think it's just a run game. I think it's everything.
No, correct. It was the operation. That's why it was. Yeah. It wasn't like a delay game or the players getting in late and all that. Go ahead.
I'm gonna show it.
Flem with the $2 donation said, will Waddle finish top 10 in receiving? He is 12th right now with 504 receiving yards.
He needs a compliment. I don't see one.
I think he'll cook. I think he'll get that 80 to 120 every game.
The slant, that is Tua. The slant to Waddle. And they've run that so much.
Yeah, did you see someone put the Alabama tape?
And that's the thing. The slant was really what made me fall in love with Tua at Alabama. Like, he could throw that thing.
I hate that play.
You just have to have a receiver who can actually run it and who could take that hit. I don't even think Waddle is the right kind of receiver. Like, if Nick Westbrook Akine could actually, maybe Cedric Wilson can.
Wish you had a big receiver there, because most of those interceptions on that route, that same route.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what Nick Westbrook Akine is supposed to be. Unfortunately, it hasn't panned out. And I guess maybe Cedric Wilson is moving up on that depth chart.
You saw against the Jets, Darren Waller was in that situation, and it worked. It worked.
Absolutely.
He makes it up, though. A lot of people be in that position.
Yeah.
But they haven't hit a quick slant at all this year like they used to the past few years, though.
Heavens Fall with the 8 said, does this great win change who we will trade at the deadline? Also, Poop, as you are the most cultured among your hosts, favorite Beatles album?
Glad you recognize. I appreciate that. I'm going to take that one. You guys can take the other one. I would say the Blue Album, but that's cheating because that's kind of a compilation. That's the greatest hits from 1967 to 1970. If I have to remove that one out of the equation, to me, Magical Mystery Tour is really, really good.
I like the one album.
The one
you album. You don't like Rubber Soul?
I like anything and everything that the Beatles did, but I was asked for my favorite.
Oh.
Magical Mystery
Tour. Oh, but please me?
As I said, Magical Mystery Tour.
Are you looking up these names of these? I know the one where they walk across.
Hey, no, I googled it. I got them all listed over here. I'm like, yeah, let me.
By the way, no, the gentleman or lady asked another question. Does that change who the Dolphins trade?
No, I said no. I don't think it does.
I think you got to set a price. I think if you're giving me a fourth, you might get Jalen Phillips. You're definitely getting Bradley Chubb. But fifth, I don't know if I trade Chubb for a fifth.
Has that changed because of Dolphins won against Atlanta? Okay, no.
It was always the price. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if we're he's already a cheap player. So, you know, and with Jalen Phillips, you're going to get a compensatory pick for him already. So if he leaves,
well, you're gonna get a compensatory pick if you wind up losing more compensatory free agents than you sign. So the Dolphins
first year, the new GM. I'm sorry, I mean, they never really spend. They never really spend.
One of these donations addresses that, Omar. So we got to get to it. But yeah, I hate the comp picks because, you know, you had Juwan James sign with Denver, big fat contract. He got hurt. Our comp pick fell. Christian Wilkins signs a big fat contract. He got hurt. Comp pick falls. And I tell people that when they're like, oh, we got, I'm like, he's got to play. Right? He's got to play. And now Javon Holland, are we still getting a fourth for him or is that in question now?
Well, he's injured. He didn't play, I believe, against Philadelphia last week.
So again, Chris Greer plans his whole offseason around getting comp picks and we consistently lose them. Why is he still employed? Anyway,
Doug, this is the best argument you have ever made.
So what you're saying, Doug, is fourth round pick in the hand is better than what in the what?
Third round pick in the comp
better
push.
Player. Stop sitting on your money because you want that comp pick. And wait, what is it? June? May or June when the comp picks don't count anymore? It's like June 3rd or something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Number one Heat fan with the five receivers.
Yeah, and they waited to spend their money.
Always, because he wants those comp picks. Dumb. Number one Heat fan with the five says, repeat after me, 2 hours, 2 hours, 2 hours, obey. Man, I'm fighting right now. I got to go upstairs and put my daughter to sleep. It's almost 8:30. You want to come?
Oh, he's suggesting we go 2 hours.
Yeah. No. I got a 7-month pregnant woman who you guys know. I'm not.
Doug's gonna get a whole lot of pow-pows if he does that.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep looking at my watch.
Oh, 7 is when they get grumpy.
Sanch with the tour says Doug's hopium should be studied. What hopium? I just said we were gonna lose to the Ravens.
Doug said we're going 9-0.
Selective.
That's the guy with the hopium over here.
We're on the Brady Bunch. Ian with the tenor says feels like people are overreacting to beating a beat up Falcons team who didn't take the Fins seriously. A loss to the Ravens at home and they're back in the spot. 2-7. Then do we fire sale? We were always there never was going to be a fire sale. That was reported like 2 weeks ago. But we are always going to be sellers, not buyers. Once we hit 1-5. And that was it. Your season's pretty much done, especially because you lost to how many AFC teams? You gotta really dig yourself out of that.
That's what hurt us early. A lot of them were AFC teams.
Yeah, we also won NFC team, which was the Panthers. Every single team was AFC teams. Garp with another fiver says, Omar, which of these huge men, Obinnaiah Eze, you're making me say these names. And then what's the next one? Roy.
Those two,
Jermaine Mfeti, Kadeem Telfort. Who makes the sixth man for short yardage? Well, Jermaine.
IR practice squad.
Yeah.
Who are these people?
Guys,
I'm the dark.
IR practice squad.
Man.
Same for the fiver said, TD, the type of guy to get his boss fired, and then when the boss is worse for 10, he had nothing to do with
it. That's why I'm always my own boss.
Flaming boot with the fiver says Phillips had one good game to watch the tape. Omar, Phillips didn't have one. You talk, see again,
Jordan or Jalen?
We got a lot of Phillips, we got a lot of Jalen's,
No, he was talking about Jordan because I said, good game did Jordan Phillips play? Please tell me.
Probably the Jets.
He barely got any snaps, so I'm gonna guess it would be Jalen Phillips.
No, he was talking about Jordan Phillips because I said I really don't know if Jordan Phillips has really played a good game.
Let me tell you. I'll tell you what other game.
What other game did he play well?
Didn't play many snaps.
And those they have ability. They have ability.
Showing it. I can't even see it. Like the only guys that are showing snap counts is Zaxiel. Oh wow, this is the wrong open air, Doug.
Played 16 snaps.
Yeah. So his most snapped game was week 2. He had 40 snaps. So maybe week 2 against the Patriots? I don't know. Garp Gump with another $2 donation. Y'all have forgotten this is the 90 squad part 2.
You have been on that kick for all years. It's not 1990. 12-4, dude.
Yeah. Duran with the 5-month membership. Thank you for being a member for so long. I'm going to this game. I'm ready for the blowout. Which side is the blowout?
Dolphins. Let's go.
Miami Vibes. Look at that.
Is that me?
$5 donation. Hey,
I got a screenshot this.
Oh my God. Love the show, guys. About to witness the Ohtani masterclass.
That dude is
screw the Dodgers. Amazing. I'm a Mets fan. Screw
he's amazing. You gotta respect that.
He's ridiculous, but still scrum. Red Hood with the fiver says, TD, don't you know Lamar, the king of South Florida, is going to be a Raven? Be a Ravens home game.
You must be heard about my guy Tua Tagovailoa.
Even with the tenor says all Finns fans have seen this movie before. Start the season awful, win enough games to barely miss the playoffs and inspire some hope. Mid-round pick, no one fired. I don't want to watch this movie again. I think that is the main reason why fans want us to lose is because we want to burn it down. We don't want Greer back. We don't want McDaniel back. So I don't. Some want the pick, but some just they want to burn it down. Garp with another fiver. Players from Jamaica, Patrick Chung, Dwight Freeney, and what Super Bowl champion quarterback? Any guesses? Initial RD.
From Jamaica?
Yeah, come on, Poop. RD.
Rohan Davey?
Super Bowl
champion quarterback? It wouldn't be.
World champion quarterback.
RD.
I'll tell you, Rohan Davey.
Okay, maybe. But for who would he would play?
No. Rohan. Yeah.
You could be a Super Bowl champion quarterback and not touch the field.
Correct.
Carson Wentz is one.
Ricky Rand. I can't. Sorry.
Charles with a fiver says, showing my age, but the defense was so impressive on Sunday. I expect to see Arnsberger and Shula on the sideline. Do it again, defense. I just want to see more sacks.
I don't know why they're not taking sacks. I would prefer that.
Normally, it's Omar who's throwing out those those sound bites. That time it was me.
That what?
I said I want to see more sacks. it's inappropriate. But yeah, no, I want because I'm just.
Wow.
It's nice.
Oh, I got it now.
Oh, well, holy moly, now you got it?
Facts. I like football, not that, you know.
Yeah, but the people on the internet don't. So as soon as I said it, I was like, damn, I got caught. Numero uno with the tender says it appears to have fixed some of his footwork. Kudos to him standing in the pocket for a couple big hits. Yep. And he also said with another $10 donation, I wish people would stop talking about losing more games to get high draft picks. Silly. Some Jet fans were upset that they won because they wanted that number one pick. Ian with the two said Omar fans want the tank for GM firing, not pick. Yeah.
Gotcha.
Golden Thumb with the two says Miami scout team versus Greer Moneyball Oakland A's like. Didn't work. Sharp up with the tour says Otani as the sixth lineman.
Bet you he would be good at it. That guy's just, he's a baseball player, Omar. Interesting. Sorry.
John C. with a $100 donation. 14 runs, 9 passes on second down. Yes, they finally did it. Also, wow. 3 touchdowns on 3 of those second down passes. Congrats, guys. No more 5-man defensive fronts.
Oh, I like the 5-man defensive fronts. It doesn't necessarily work, but it has some potential.
And then Devin with the fiver says, with a lame duck front office, do you see any trades coming before the deadline? I can't see Ross giving Greer permission to trade players.
Ross is absolutely giving Greer permission to do whatever he wants.
Yep. Yeah. You are the GM until you're not the GM. And right now you're the GM.
Lewis with the last one said, Colt owner, what are your thoughts on her, micromanager, leader, or too soon to know?
Too soon, but I like
they're eight, to know. They're 8-1, so obviously it's not a problem.
Too soon to know, but I saw a press conference from her about, I don't even know if it was AI or not, but it was brilliant. It was about why she wears the headsets and why she listens, and how she's like, you can, if you're an owner, you can save yourself a lot of money because you know who's actually making, who's actually screwing up and who's not screwing up. I don't know where I saw it, but it was too good to be true. Mm-hmm. And like, I was like, this has got to be AI. Like it was so profound. And I was like, she's right. If you listen with the headsets, you could see who out there acting like a willy-nilly and who's got no composure and who's panicking and who's really making the calls.
Yeah. John C. threw the last donation in. He said, now, more 5-man fronts. Yes, more. With a tenor. All right, we appreciate you guys. I don't know what's happening Friday. It is Halloween, and we have, well, 3 of us have little children that we're going to try to trick-or-treat. So,
you mind any little children?
We're still negotiating that. What happens on Halloween?
Yeah. Regardless, if we're here at 6, I can't make it. So, we'll talk about it. We'll let you know. I'll put a tweet out letting you guys know. But hopefully, after a Dolphins victory against the Baltimore Ravens, again, regardless if you want high draft pick or not, I'm still going to be rooting for the Miami Dolphins to win the game. But we are out of here. Shout out to Omar Kelly, Miami Herald columnist, Alan Poupart on the Miami Dolphins on SI, and TD Finstalk, youtube.com/TD Finstalk, and myself, youtube.com/DougLeeDurong. We will see you Friday at some point in the day. But we out. Peace.